This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Pete's Coffee and Tea, deep roasting and blending coffee beans since 1966. Pete's.com or 800-999-2132.
Television news. Do you trust? Okay. Can I ask you a quick question? Yes or no question?
Good morning. This is the KABU Morning News for Wednesday, June 14th, 2006. I'm Brian Smith.
And I'm Angela Hancock-Revis.
Coming up on this morning's newscast, the Oregon Department of Revenue says electronic files containing personal data of up to 2,200 Oregon taxpayers may have been compromised. The Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in the San Francisco Bay Area and the Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico are competing to design the nation's first new nuclear bomb in two decades. And a Harvard study finds that the No Child Left Behind education policy is failing. Portland area weather today calls for showers likely with temperatures in the mid-60s.
A vote within Oregon State University's College of Forestry revealed strong support for Dean Hal Salwasser. Salwasser became embroiled in a high-profile dust-up that mixed questions about academic freedom with the wisdom of logging public lands after forest fires. Results from the poll showed 66% of faculty, students, and other staff members supported Salwasser's leadership. The vote followed a furor over attempt by some faculty to delay publications of a student-authored article in the prestigious journal Science. The episode mirrored a large ideological battle in the West over federal lands. At issue was the question of salvage logging, whether to log and replant or leave nature to its own devices after forest fires scorched large tracts of public land. Salwasser acknowledged missteps and said he would diversify the leadership of the college, giving voice to a wider range of perspectives. This from the Oregonian.
And the Oregon Department of Revenue says electronic files containing personal data of up to 2,200 Oregon taxpayers may have been compromised by an ex-employee's unauthorized use of a computer. Amy McLaughlin, an information technology security officer with the state, said the incident apparently occurred when an employee downloaded a contaminated file from a porn site. The Trojan attached to the file may have sent taxpayer information back to the source when the computer was turned on. The released data likely involved names or addresses or social security numbers, or possibly in some cases all three. It's unclear if it was damaging, but said some of the data may have gotten back to the porn site. McLaughlin said the department determined on May 15th that the computer was being improperly used on May 3rd or 23rd, and that some data may have been captured and sent out.
Marion County commissioners are set to vote today on whether to strengthen the county's regulation of mass gatherings. Property rights, land use, and economic impact are areas of debate as commissioners seek a way to limit noise and nuisance without jeopardizing economic gains to the county in the form of festivals or entertainment on private property. But two summer concerts held on a farm near Woodburn last summer drew a strong response from neighbors who thought that their farming lifestyle and rural community were being threatened by the crowds. The ordinance in effect at the time stated that the events with crowds of more than 1,000 people were subject to land use permits. A bluegrass festival and a reggae festival held at a farm near Woodburn last summer drew crowds of less than 1,000, so commissioners were unable to enforce the county's ordinance, prompting a review. The new ordinance should it pass, defines a mass gathering as 3,000 people or more in one place at a time, or more than 500 people per day during a 3-day period. The new ordinance would set a limit of one large gathering every 3 months. This from the Salem Statesman Journal.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers plans to transfer as much as 1 million cubic yards of sand from the mouth of the Columbia River to the Long Beach Peninsula to counter erosion in the southwest Washington Beach community. The sediment transfer could occur as early as the summer of 2007, though the Corps would need congressional approval and money to pull it off. A rough cost estimate for the project is $2.5 million. Doris McPhillip, project manager for the federal agency, said the Corps is working to fine-tune its plan. The Corps has proposed dredging at least 500,000 cubic yards and perhaps as much as 1 million cubic yards from the river shipping channel and dumping it north of the jetty. Waves could carry the sand north along the length of the peninsula. The Corps said the dredging would have to occur between July 15th and September 15th to minimize the risk of harming sea life.
Initiative guru Tim Iman suffered another blow yesterday when a King County Superior Court judge struck down his 2001 measure limiting property tax increases. Initiative 747 limited increase in property tax collection to 1% a year, unless voters approved bigger increases. In the ruling, Judge Mary Roberts said I-747 claimed that it would change the limit on property tax increases from 2% a year to 1% a year by amending Initiative 722, which had been passed earlier. In reality, she said I-722 had already been declared invalid. Roberts' ruling comes just a week after Iman failed to submit enough voter signatures for his referendum 65, which would have enforced a public vote this fall on the state's new gay civil rights law. With the failure of referendum 65, only two of the last six ballot measures sponsored by him have reached the ballot. Voters approved only one of the two last year's only one of the two being last year's Initiative 900. It powered the state auditor to conduct performance audits of the state and local government agencies, but the legislator had already passed a similar law. This from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer.
In a petition delivered late yesterday, almost 2,000 Oregonians are asking the Oregon Public Utilities Commission to find out if Oregon phone companies cooperated with the National Security Agency's unauthorized surveillance and information gathering of ordinary citizens. David Fedanke with the American Civil Liberties Union of Oregon says Oregonians want to know about any illegal invasion of privacy.
It's important for state officials to ensure that the privacy rights of innocent telephone customers aren't breached by a federal agency that's acting outside the law and outside the protections of the Constitution.
60,000 people nationwide also filed petitions with their local commissions. In federal court this week, the ACLU is arguing that the NSA's spying program is unconstitutional and also violates the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. White House officials maintain their anti-terrorism surveillance programs are legal under the executive privilege.
The Rhode Island General Assembly is considering legislation that could give police access to internet and phone records and credit card and bank information without warrant or other court review. The state police said the legislation would help track down the increasing instances of internet-based crime. They say they are only seeking expanded access to internet records, not phone or banking records. But lawyers familiar with this area of law say the bills as crafted would give Rhode Island police the right to obtain the same information that some of the nation's major communication companies have been accused of giving to the National Security Agency illegally. Lawyers in Rhode Island have filed class action lawsuits on behalf of customers against these companies. Some of the same lawyers as the Rhode Island affiliate of the American Civil Liberties Union are speaking out against the bill, scheduled for a hearing and possibly a vote Tuesday before a state House committee. The Senate has already passed a version of the bill. Critics say that under the proposed legislation, the only standard the police would need to get a customer's information is an assertion by a police chief that the information is necessary for an investigation. Bank and credit card information could also be included to show means of payment for phone or internet services. State police say going before a judge to get a warrant can be time-consuming and cumbersome. Corporal John Killian, the state police's computer crime specialist, said it can take 3 to 4 hours to obtain a warrant, adding, "There's a balance between privacy and police authority, and the current situation is weighted too far on the side of privacy."
A Harvard study found that George Bush's No Child Left Behind education policy is failing to close racial achievement gaps and will miss its goal by 2014. This from Reuters. The study found that the policy had no significant impact on improving reading and math achievement since its introduction in 2001, contradicting White House claims. Bush's No Child Left Behind Act was meant to introduce national standards to the education system, where only two-thirds of teenagers graduate from high school, and it drops to 50% for blacks and Hispanics. The study released by Harvard University's Civil Rights Project said national average of achievement by U.S. students has not improved in reading since 2001, and that the growth rate in math has remained the same as before the policy was introduced. Last month, the first nationwide science test administered in 5 years showed achievement among U.S. high school seniors dropping over the past decade, and at the same time, students in many other developed countries outscoring U.S. students in science testing. The Harvard report said only 24-34% of students will meet the reading proficiency target by 2014, and 29-64% will meet the math goals. The policy requires children in every racial and demographic group in every school, and it must improve their scores on standardized tests in math and English each year. Failure to do so can lead to sanctions against schools. In extreme cases, schools can be closed down.
A University of Colorado committee recommended yesterday firing a professor who called some of the World Trade Center victims little Eichmanns, citing repeated research misconduct. The panel's recommendation now goes to university officials for a final decision. Ward Churchill, a tenured professor of ethnic studies, denied the allegations. He has vowed to fight his dismissal with a lawsuit. The school's investigation focused on allegations that Churchill committed research misconduct and plagiarism. The panel did not address his essay relating to the 2001 terrorist attacks to U.S. abuses abroad. The essay referred to some World Trade Center victims as little Eichmanns, a reference to Adolf Eichmann, who carried out Adolf Hitler's plan to exterminate European Jews during World War II. The Churchill's case has been cited by conservatives as an example of how universities have overstocked their faculties with leftists. Others raised concerns about academic freedom.
In a surprise move, a House panel voted yesterday for a hike in the minimum wage from $5.15 to $7.25, which would be the first increase in a decade. But the move by the Appropriations Committee as an amendment to a bill funding health and education programs is likely to be stripped out when the measure comes to the House floor. That's because the panel does not officially have jurisdiction over the issue. The Republican Representative Howard McKeon of California, the chairman of the Education and the Workforce Committee, said he will strike the provisions on the floor. McKeon said he has no plans to move a standalone bill raising the minimum wage. 7 appropriation panel Republicans voted with Democrats to approve the wage hike on a 32-27 vote.
Hopes for a quick compromise on immigration were dealt a blow yesterday after House Speaker Dennis Hastert said he wanted to take a long look at a Senate bill offering possible citizenship to millions of undocumented immigrants. Hastert said hearings on the Senate bill should be held before appointing anyone to a House Senate committee to negotiate a compromise immigration bill. Later, he said he was unsure what the House's next move would be. House Majority Leader John Boehner agreed, "I think we should know clearly what's in the Senate bill." But he added, "There are lots of ways to understand its contents." Sending a bill that has already passed the Senate to hearings would be a highly unusual move and make completing a final bill more before Congress goes on its summer recess far less likely. Disagreements on procedural issue has kept negotiations from starting, but there were hopes that could be resolved this week. The Senate passed a sweeping immigration bill nearly 3 weeks ago. The bill offers most immigrants in the country a future guest workers' path to citizenship.
Congressional investigators have found the government doled out nearly $1.5 billion in bogus assistance to victims of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. They got hoodwinked to pay for season football tickets, a tropical vacation, and even a divorce lawyer. Agents from the Government Accountability Office, or GAO, which is the investigative arm of Congress, went undercover to expose the ease of receiving disaster expense checks from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. The GAO concluded that as much as 16% of the $1 billion in FEMA help to individuals after the two hurricanes was unwarranted. The findings are detailed in testimony obtained by the Associated Press that is to be delivered at a hearing today by the House Homeland Security Subcommittee on Investigations. The GAO said it was 95% confident that improper and potentially fraudulent payments were much higher.
The world stock market sell-off has continued, and the U.S. shares are the latest to suffer, with mounting fears about inflation and interest rates, this from the BBC. The Dow Jones Index sank more than 80 points, losing its gains for the year, and the Japanese stocks saw the biggest one-day fall in 2 years. European stocks also hit six and a half month lows. Commodity prices also fell, with gold witnessing the biggest drop in 25 years, with prices dropping below the $600 mark. According to a U.S. government report, core wholesale prices increased by 0.3% in May, more than the forecast 0.2% predicted. Food and energy prices were not counted. Analysts said that markets were likely to remain volatile until there was more clarity about the state of global growth and the direction of interest rates in the U.S.
And a new survey has shown that people in European and Muslim countries see U.S. policy in Iraq as a bigger threat to world peace than Iran's nuclear program. This from the BBC. The survey questioned 17,000 people in 15 countries, including the U.S. Its release coincides with the surprise visit by George W. Bush to Baghdad in an effort to shore up support for U.S. policy in the region. The latest survey shows the worldwide reputation of the U.S. continues to suffer over its prosecution of the war on terror. A majority of the people in 10 of the 14 countries outside the U.S. surveyed said the war in Iraq has made the world a more dangerous place. Sharp declines in the public perception of the U.S. were particularly apparent in India, Spain, and Turkey. The survey interviewed people in China, Egypt, France, Germany, Great Britain, India, Indonesia, Japan, Jordan, Nigeria, Pakistan, Russia, Spain, Turkey, and the U.S.
The Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in San Francisco Bay Area has and the Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico are competing to design the nation's first new nuclear bomb in 2 decades. Scientists at both faculties are working around the clock on plans that will be presented to the Nuclear Weapons Council, a federal panel that oversees the nation's nuclear weapons. The council will choose a winner later this year. Congress approved the new bomb, known as the Reliable Replacement Warhead, with bipartisan support in 2005 as part of a defense spending bill. The weapon should, by law, have the same explosive power as existing warheads. Proponents of the project say the U.S. would lose its so-called strategic deterrent unless it replaces its aging arsenal of about 6,000 bombs, which will become potentially unreliable within 15 years. A new, more reliable weapon, they say, would help the nation reduce its stockpile. Critics say the project would trigger a new arms race with Russia and China and undercut arguments that countries such as Iran and North Korea must stop their nuclear programs. The United States and Russia signed a treaty in 2002 calling for the countries to each cut nuclear inventories to between 1,700 and 2,200 warheads by the year 2012.
The United States yesterday reasserted its right to develop weapons for use in outer space to protect its military and commercial satellites and ruled out any global negotiations on a new treaty to limit them. In a speech to the Conference on Disarmament, a senior State Department's arms control official insisted that such weapon systems would be purely defensive. John Mahonico, Deputy Director of the Office of Multilateral Nuclear and Security Affairs, said Washington sees no need for negotiations to prevent an arms race in space, as a 40-year-old international treaty banning weapons of mass destruction in space remains adequate. Mahonico said the United States faced a threat of attacks from the Earth or from other countries' spacecraft. He did not name any potential attackers, though. The United States and Britain are under pressure to agree to global negotiations on space at the 65-member Geneva Forum, where they remain virtually alone in opposing them.
Under pressure from Congress, the Pentagon has dropped plans to keep some interrogation techniques secret by putting them in a classified section of a military manual. Two senior officials said there will not be a classified section in the long-awaited revision of the Army Field Manual. One of the officials said the description of interrogation techniques initially planned for the classified section are either being made public or are being eliminated as tactics that can be used against prisoners. The officials requested anonymity because the manual has not been completed. One human rights group hailed the decision. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said for the first time last month that officials were at odds over whether the manual should endorse different interrogation techniques for enemy insurgents than are allowed for regular prisoners of war. There are concerns that such distinction would violate a law enacted last year that explicitly banned cruel, inhumane, or degrading treatment of prisoners by U.S. troops. This, according to The Guardian.
And America has spent more on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan than all its foreign wars up to 1939, following the passage of a bill allowing $66 billion in new funding for the Pentagon. Spending on the three-year war in Iraq now totals $320 billion, with a further $89 billion being spent on operations in Afghanistan. The House of Representatives passed the final version of the bill today by a vote of 351-67. After minimal debate last night. The total value of the legislation, including non-war spending, is almost $95 billion.
In Havana, Cuba, U.S. Army Colonel James Steele, who was involved in the Iran-Contra scandal, along with international terrorist Luis Posada Carriles at his command, is now an advisor to death squads in Iraq. The presence of the U.S. Army officer in Iraq has just been revealed by U.S. Congressman Dennis Kucinich. Luis Posada Carriles, currently under arrest in U.S., charged with illegal entry into that country, was the first to report to Colonel Steele about the downing of a DC-3 aircraft in Nicaragua and the arrest of Eugene Hassenfuss, the incident that led to the Iran-Contra scandal. In a letter addressed to the U.S. State Department, Kucinich notes that Colonel Steele, a current advisor to the U.S. ambassador in Iraq, implemented a plan in El Salvador under which tens of thousands of El Salvadorans disappeared or were murdered, including Bishop Oscar Romero and four American nuns. Kucinich said Colonel Steele has been assigned to the new countersurgents unit, known as the Special Police Commando, which operates under the Iraqi Interior Ministry. This from the Cuban news agency.
And the U.S. Marines have launched a probe into a video posted on the internet that apparently shows a serving Marine singing about killing Iraqi civilians. This from the BBC. A spokesman described the video as clearly inappropriate and contrary to the standard of the Marines. Posted on the YouTube website, the video shows a man in uniform strumming a guitar while singing about killing Iraqis as others laugh and cheer. The Marines said they did not know immediately if the film was genuine. The lyrics caught on the video refer to shooting of Iraqi civilians, and especially children. It also refers to Iraqis as Hajis, a term usually applied to someone who has completed the pilgrimage to Mecca, but commonly used as a term of insult against Iraqis among U.S. troops. The Marines are currently embroiled in a controversy over the deaths of 24 civilians in the town of Haditha last year and other atrocities.
A coordinated wave of suicide attacks and remote-controlled bombs rocked the contested northern oil city of Kirkuk yesterday, leaving at least 22 people dead and wounding 43. Senior security officials in the U.S. blamed the onslaught on a final act of desperation and destruction by members of al-Qaeda in Iraq following the death of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. It was the first violence in the city the city has seen since the U.S. invasion in 2003. In a now familiar insurgent tactic, police and passerby who came to help were hit by a remote-controlled car bomb, which killed 13 civilians and wounded 17. Across town, a suicide bomber blew himself up outside offices of the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan, which is led by the Iraqi president Jalal Talabani. Two people were wounded, police said. A second suicide bomber then drove at speed at the same building but was shot and killed by guards before he could detonate his bomb. Another suicide bomber struck a security building in the Wasit neighborhood, wounding four civilians. Also in central Kirkuk, a roadside bomb exploded outside a law college as police convoy was passing, killing one person and wounding two.
An Afghanistan province being patrolled by British troops will produce at least one-third of the world's heroin this year. according to drug experts who are forecasting a harvest that is both a record for the country and embarrassing for the Western-funded war on narcotics. British officials are bracing themselves for the results of an annual UN poppy survey due later this summer. Early indications show an increase on Hellman's 1999 record and a near doubling of last year's crop. As Afghanistan accounts for almost 90% of the world's heroin supply, that would mean Hellman supplies are about one-third, drug experts say. The province is as central to Afghanistan's illegal economy as California is to America's legal one. The smuggling kingpins who control the trade have become rich, powerful, and apparently untouchable. Although several hundred low-level couriers have been arrested, not one big fish has been tried in Afghanistan. In Helmand, British commanders insist that 3,300 soldiers will fill a void tackling drugs in favor of providing security and development funds. But drug experts say it will be impossible to avoid the drug war.
The United States has warned North Korea about going ahead with a test launch of a new intercontinental ballistic missile, this from the BBC. North Korea last tested a long-range missile in 1998, but warned last year that it was calling off a self-imposed moratorium on further tests. The U.S. ambassador to Seoul, Alexander Virchow, said Washington would respond to a missile test with what he called appropriate measures. He told a local radio station that the North's missile technology was a threat to the international community. South Korea's foreign minister, Ban Ki-moon, called on the North to stop its preparations, saying a test would damage efforts to resolve the confrontation over the North's nuclear weapons program. The diplomatic process has been stalled since last year when North Korea pulled out of the talks, citing American financial pressure. North Korea may be using the missile threat to try to break the deadlock. Its demands have been largely ignored while Washington has focused on the nuclear challenge from Iran. In a related story, the United States Air Force successfully launched an unarmed Minuteman III intercontinental ballistic missile early this morning. The missile traveled 4,800 miles in 30 minutes before its three warheads struck targets in the Marshall Islands. The U.S. has about 500 Minuteman missiles in Wyoming, Montana, and North Dakota.
Mexican leftist Andres Manuel López Obrador inched 2 points ahead of his conservative rival in a Reforma newspaper opinion poll today. This is from Reuters. The survey gave López Obrador 37% of support among probable voters, up from 35% in a poll by The Daily in late May. Conservative ruling party candidate Felipe Calderón fell to 35% support in the new poll from 39% on May 24th. The two top contenders have been running neck and neck for the July 2nd vote, but López Obrador has appeared to gain ground since a nationally televised debate last week. Yesterday, he opened a 3-point lead over conservative rival Felipe Calderón in the two most recent polls. Calderón was widely seen as performing strongly in the debate. Since then, campaigning has focused on allegations by López Obrador that Calderón's business brother-in-law evaded paying taxes and received large government contracts while the conservative was energy minister. Calderón has repeatedly denied any misconduct, but the scandal is tarnishing his image as a candidate with clean hands in a country beset by public corruption. President Vicente Fox's 6-year term ends in December, and he is forbidden by the Constitution from seeking re-election.
This has been the KABU Morning News for Wednesday, June 14, 2006. This morning's editor is Brian Smith, with much help from Chris Andre. Our engineer is Boone Revis, and Kathleen Stevenson is the KABU AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Angela Hancock Revis.
And I'm Brian Smith.
We clear the air at 90.7 FM in Portland, 91.9 in the Columbia River Gorge on transmitter K246AA, and 100.7 in the Willamette Valley on translator K220HR. If you would like to volunteer in your community newsroom, call Kathleen Stevenson at 503-231-8032, extension 202, or email at amnews@kabu.org. Portland area weather today calls for showers with highs in the mid-60s.